It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh, I can tell today's going to be one of those days. Gentlemen, we're talking playoff basketball. Does the play-in round count? I think it does.
Yes, I do.
It's playoff basketball.
We did it. We won the play-in.
I can't wait because, I saw the first game, but
I had
a family matter to deal with last night.
Okay.
So I watched a lot of the second game, but I didn't see it all. And they telling me that I missed something after the game. So we'll talk about that later. I didn't see it.
Oh, my goodness.
One shining moment.
Okay, that's all I got to
say.
Just save it.
That's all I got to say.
Mr. Pat Bev.
Wait.
That's all I got to say.
Pat Bev
with the Kobe pullover.
Hold up. Let me start with the early game.
All right.
And then you can get into the act like you've been there moment.
They got me interested. I didn't know. All right, go ahead.
That's going to be a whole segment for you. How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's go.
All right. So, KD and Kyrie missed one shot combined in the first half of their 115-108 play-in win over the Cavs. Next up, round one versus the Boston Celtics, who just beat a KD and Kyrie Nets squad in March. Boston will not have Robert Williams available, as Ben Simmons may appear in this series. And speaking of Williams, KD not a fan of Bruce Brown's take on the Celtics. Listen up.
Now they don't have Robert Williams, so they have less of a presence in the paint, and we could attack Al Horford and Tice. So them not having Robert Williams is huge.
What did he say?
All right, man.
That's caffeine pride talking. Take some before the game. We don't need to say like that. Let's just go out there and hoop.
You're up first. Who should be favored in Nets Celtics?
Well, first things first, let me comment about what KD said. Kevin Durant is the best basketball player on the planet Earth. He's the best in the world, in my mind. And when he says something like that, he would know. Two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. And I like Bruce Brown. I like him a lot. And I don't think he's getting enough shine, to be quite honest with you. He's their third wheel. Bruce Brown could play. And he plays on both ends. He doesn't cheat you with energy. He doesn't cheat you with effort. And I think his game is pretty nice. So I want to give Bruce Brown some love. But also some advice. You would need to listen to Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant speaks about something like that, he's E.F. Hutton. You listen. Because you ain't qualified to say stuff like that about the opponent. You have done nothing yet in the postseason if you're Bruce Brown. You listen to Kevin Durant. That's all I got to say about that. I got the Nets favored to win this series. I got the Nets favored to win this series because of the absence of Robert Williams. If Robert Williams was there and he had him on the interior, then I would go with Boston. I think his absence is going to be pivotal. I know that Kyrie ain't going to have it as easy as he had it last night. It's Marcus Smart you're about to go up against. That's a different animal, okay? So I know it's going to be tough, but I just believe in KD so much that when you look at Boston, we're going to learn about Tatum and Brown. Because if you Tatum and Brown, you want this. This is the greatest opportunity that they have ever had in their careers as a team. This is a team that was going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But this right here, because it's a dynamic duo in Brooklyn, this is not you going up against a LeBron and obviously trying to get to the finals. This is you as a dynamic duo going up against the premier dynamic duo in basketball, in Kyrie Irving and KD. So this is Tatum and Brown's chance. It's just that I believe in KD. I have nothing else to say. Their defense is shaky. All right. Their second unit is not good. I know that Boston collectively, their defense is elite number one. I get all of that. But the absence of Robert Williams makes it come down to me. Tatum and Brown versus KD and Kyrie. And here's my belief. There's only one KD. And to take him out, I got to see it. I got this. It's one thing if Kyrie wasn't there. But with Kyrie being there, it's going to come down to KD. And I just believe in that brother. That's what I
got. Well, here's what I think. I think what happened last night was those two guys just put this impression in your head now, and you're envisioning this long run. Because I understand Rob Williams is important, but would you have said what you just said 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Or is it based on what you saw last night specifically, where now you go, okay.
In fairness to me.
Okay.
Fairness to me, because I'm
Tim. Be like, fair to yourself.
Tim Legler's not being fair to me
be
right
now. Be
fair
to yourself.
Jay Williams was a test to this. I've been saying this for weeks now. I've been on NBA Countdown. Everybody been getting on me. I've been saying Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Everybody like, what the hell's wrong with him? You understand? I'm saying they could get knocked out in the first round. I'm aware of this. Or they could go to the finals.
Right.
But this series right here, I think Robert Williams is needed. And the fact that he's not there, that's where I'm at.
And you are right that they could make a run to the finals, but I don't think they're going to get past Boston.
Okay.
I'm picking Boston to win the series because Rob Williams is important, but it's a lot more than him when you talk about collectively, defensively, the way that they play and the number of guys on the perimeter with size and length and strength. And you don't have to shut these two dudes down. You just have to make them a little bit less efficient and then let the other weaknesses of the Nets' overall team come into play. If they're going to gut you the way they did last night, no, you got no chance. But Boston won't allow that to happen. They're going to make them less efficient. So now, the lack of depth, the lack of size, the lack of shooting, all of those things come into play. And I just look at Boston and I say, I'm not going to slight what they just did 26-6 to finish the year. It's legitimate. Now, I will say this. This is the biggest moment of Jason Tatum's career. He's the flag bearer now. You want a seat at the table? With Kevin Durant and these guys, you've got to go toe-to-toe with Kevin Durant. You can't get outplayed thoroughly in this series. That doesn't mean you're going to be better than him every night, but you've certainly got to hold your own. So at the end of the series, we say, man, that was pretty much a push. Jason Tatum answered the bell, and then Jaylen Brown, you know, do the best you can to match Kyrie. So then it comes down to the rest of your team, and that's why I have more faith in the Boston Celtics. I think their defense will do just enough to expose the other issues with the Nets roster that we just talked about.
Got it. You see, I think Boston is more of a complete team. But back to your point about Robert Williams, this is why I think it's such a huge loss, Legs. As a guard, Robert Williams' ability to show on all that pick and roll stuff, his feet laterally, he can stay in front of you to a degree. But also, if you get by him, just breathing on your neck, right? His ability to block shots or even alter you psychologically, thinking, where's this guy coming from?
He can track you.
Changes the dynamic of who they are defensively. I look at Al Horford, I look at Daniel Tyson, I say, these are the guys that Kyrie and KD want to see off every ball screen. Also, we talk about this moment for Jason Tatum. You talk about Kevin Durant. This is a massive opportunity for Kyrie. All the stuff that's been happening all year long about the vaccination, whether or not be playing, the conversation about would he show up when you need him to the most. It's an opportunity for him to exercise all the demons, to go into the Boston Garden with the incense, right, to take on the team that people said he wasn't the leader that they needed. He left us. Now it's an opportunity for Kyrie to show on the highest level that he is the guy that can lead a team along with maybe the best player in basketball, Kevin Durant.
I don't disagree with you on that at all. Matter of fact, I was on vacation when Steven Jackson, for all the smoke, went on video talking about me because of what I had said about Kyrie Irving. I got to get at my brother because Steven Jackson's my brother. I love him dearly, but we just disagree a lot of times on certain issues, and this Kyrie Irving issue is one of them. This belief that I don't want to see Kyrie Irving play is just so, it's so inaccurate, it's embarrassing. It's the opposite. I want to see him play. How many times I've been saying he's a showstopper? How many times I've been lamenting the fact that, where the hell you at? You should be out here. Why are we seeing a 60-point game a couple of times a year when with you, it's capable of happening about a third of the year as spectacular as you are? The brother is box office, and last night when he hit his first world shot, didn't miss a shot for the first three quarters. It would have been an NBA record, playoff record, if it was the playoffs as opposed to the play-in. Kyrie Irving is absolutely spectacular, but you are absolutely 1,000% right. Oh, you got to show up now, especially with all them damn games you missed. All them damn games you missed. If anybody got fresh legs, it's you.
He's got the freshest legs. Yeah.
You got the freshest legs in the league, okay? You got fresh legs. You ain't tired. You ain't fatigued. You ain't hurt. Nothing.
And by the way, you're going back to the place you promised you wanted to stay at if you have me, and then left anyway. You got that going on. You can spread all that sage all around the arena all you want to. You better show up. You understand what I'm saying? Spraying it all around. You know what I'm saying? You better be dropping buckets the way you spreading that sage. You understand? By the way, how did it smell? I don't know. They didn't tell me. But I know this much. It didn't smell great the last time we saw him in Boston. They lost that game.
Can I tell you what it smells like to me?
And so he got to show up.
Stephen A., I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Sure.
I think Kyrie Irving's the best offensive player we have in the game of basketball. I think Kyrie Irving is the best offensive player we have in the game of basketball. I'm not saying he's the most efficient. I know that's part of the conversation.
Right.
I've never seen, and y'all can sit up here and say whatever the hell you want
right.
about how I defended Kyrie during the vaccine stuff. Say, I'm just telling you, as a guard who studies this game,
right.
who's right. challenged people, escapability, I hear you use that word a ton, right. his difficulty in shot making,
I understand.
I've never seen somebody be able to do what he's been able to do with the ball.
I'm going to come to Tim with this.
Ever.
I'm going to come to Tim with this.
All right.
You're not beyond the pale. Your argument is not discredited. But I can't give it to him over KD. See, KD is something special. You got to remember something. This is Kyrie Irving gets in a rhythm. This is my interpretation, Tim, because I'm really interested in hearing what you think. Kyrie gets rolling, and it's like, oh, my God. It's about to be a show. He's clearly spectacular. There's no doubt about that. But you know what I really judge when I really judge the greatness of an offensive player? You can take time off during the game. You ain't paying attention. Let all you get involved, you know, whatever. And then the bleeding keeps coming. And then you go like this. Just give me the ball. I'll calm things down. And then boom, boom, boom. Kevin Durant does that. He did it in the finals against LeBron one year when Klay and Steph was struggling. You know, last night he did it on a couple of shots or whatever, got to his spots, did what he had to do, even though I don't think Kevin Durant has a spot. He can score from anywhere. I cannot say, as spectacular as Kyrie Irving is, I cannot say that he's a greater offensive talent than Kevin Durant. I can't do that.
So I'll throw a little dash on each argument. He's right from this perspective, like on a given night,
yeah.
that dude's capable of being the best player on the floor, mm-hmm. like night after night for a long stretch.
Sure.
But to your point, I've said this all year, Kevin Durant is the only player in the NBA that there is no such thing as forcing him into some sort of weakness mm-hmm. or a bad shot
right.
or a win for the defense
right.
because he's capable of making a shot from anywhere on the floor
anywhere.
Against any defender
Anything.
And against any scheme. And it really comes down to there's never been a player in the history of this league mm-hmm. that combines the length, handle, and shooting ability of Kevin Durant. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to. There's never been that in one package. And that's why Kevin Durant is the ultimate answer. There's no doubt about it.
All right, before we move on, let me just get this on the record. So you're going the Nets in the series.
Yes.
You're going Celtics.
I'm going Boston.
I'm going Brooklyn.
You're going Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
And by the way,
okay.
when I say Brooklyn, game 7 on
KD,
the road
Kyrie.
In Boston, KD, Kyrie, pull it out.
All right.
That's what
it's going to go.
So let's hope we get
I think
that.
It's going to go.
Let's hope.
I think it's going to go 7.
Right.
All right. Boston right now is the favorites. They did open as the underdogs, but that changed to the other playing game, and we're going to get all the details from Legs on this. The T-Wolves,
yeah,
how about
this.
It, rallied to defeat the Clippers after trailing by 10 with 8:54 to play. Minnesota finished on a 26-11 run, defeating L.A. 109-104. Minnesota is now the number 7 seed in the Western playoffs and will face Memphis in the first round starting on Saturday. Carl Anthony Towns fouled up midway through the fourth quarter. Here's Patrick Beverley living his best life.
What did you say to your old teammates at the end there when you were standing in front of the bench?
Take their ass home. Long fight to LA. Take y'all ass home. You know, it's deeper than that for me. You understand? I gave my blood and sweat and tears to that organization. I mean, you guys know the story. Blood, sweat, and tears to just be written off like that. You know, he's injury prone. He's old. This, that. To be able to come here, play them in a play-in, beat their ass. No other feeling, man. No other feeling.
All right, before I ask the question, I'm going to let you react.
Can I say he chugged a beer after that?
Yeah.
He had a beer at the podium. And then
I actually get where he's coming from on that part.
Send him home on the bird.
Hold on. I need y'all help on this again. Okay, I watched most of the game. I went back because I had to take care of family matter. I went home. I watched most of the game. I saw the end, but then I turned the channel, okay, because I had other stuff to do. What I'm asking y'all is this. Jay Williams, Tim Legler, the floor is y'all's. Can y'all tell me what I missed after the game last night that you two have been laughing about for the past 20 minutes? Could you explain? What did I miss?
Here's what you missed.
Okay.
And far be it from me, because, look, I don't have a lot of, you know, long history of playoffs on my resume, so I get where they're coming from. Right. But here's what you missed. The most entertaining part of the entire night was the 30 or 40 minutes or so immediately after the game. Because the Minnesota Timberwolves showed a little bit, I don't know what you'd say, exuberance over winning the game. I mean, you had dudes running up on top of the scorers table.
What?
Oh, Patrick Beverley.
Pointing to the crowd, taking jerseys off.
Throwing his jersey into the crowd.
You had family celebrations on the court. You had fireworks, confetti, tears. You had it so much to the extent, Stephen A., and our partners at Turner had the game. When they came to the studio after the game, Shaq had tears coming down his cheeks, and they started playing One Shining Moment. One Shining Moment, and we are the champions. And you had guys like LeBron James tweeting in with 10 laughy face emojis with tears, asking if they won the chip. Kyle Kuzma tweeted in, looked like they just won the chip. Chuck said he was going on vacation because the season was over, apparently, because they just crowned a champion. This is what you missed after the game. How did you miss it?
Is he lying? They played One Shining Moment?
They did. Not in the arena. No,
TNT.
The Turner guys.
TNT.
The Turner guys had some fun.
You know how you TV on you tape or something, and then it cuts right over the game? So I watched the game, and they cut it off.
That's right.
I didn't see any of that.
You always got to add the extension. You got to extend by 30 minutes.
30-minute extension. Rookie move.
Come on.
Second time they've been to the playoffs in 18 years.
I get it.
It was very personal.
Get it.
Patrick
confetti.
Beverley.
Get it.
The confetti.
I got lost in the confetti.
The fireworks.
I love Minnesota, but I can't
miss anything.
Look at that. Everybody jumping on the podium. I mean,
look, he going back up, and now the jersey's coming
second
off.
Second time there.
The jersey's coming off.
Why do fans go number one? You're not number one. You're seventh.
You're seventh
in the play. That's who you are. You're seventh.
With all due respect to Patrick Beverley, they do not win that game last night without Patrick Beverley. Because Carl Anthony Towns was just running through people, put himself in foul trouble to tie the game.
Fouls out with seven minutes
left in the game. Game in the air. Now, D'Angelo Russell came through with a big way, Anthony Edwards. But Patrick Beverley's defense in the last 7 minutes, there's no way they win the game without what he did.
Again, I watched the game when I got home. But, again, I don't miss anything. This is the first for me. I didn't press the
– Yeah, you look surprised when we brought it up.
I was like, what are y'all talking about? All of that happened. Oh, my God. Okay.
Missed the Patrick Beverley video afterwards where he goes on IG Live and he's talking, saying y'all could take your ass home. And then Kat gets in the screen. It's like, bad boys. And I'm like, Kat, the bad
boys. By the way, can I say one last thing on this? It was to such an extent, I think it affected our brothers, and we all love Charles and Shaq and those guys. Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal last night on the show picked Minnesota to beat Memphis in the series
I can't do that.
I saw that. Okay. Because, again, they replayed it this morning.
I think they were caught up in the shining moment
that. Let me tell y'all, listen, that ain't going to happen. Minnesota, Memphis. That's number one. Number two, let me show a little grace. Let me show a little grace and give my man Patrick Beverley some love. That's my little brother right there. I love that brother. And I will tell you this.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
I was with him. I was at the Beverly Wilshire having lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, dinner. Mm-hmm. And he came in there the night he got traded from L.A. to Memphis, and then obviously Memphis to Minnesota. Whenever it was finalized, that night I saw him, all right? We were passing through, and we stopped and spoke for a few minutes. That brother was like, I got something to prove. It was personal to him that he was let go, that, you know, pay me or trade me, because the Clippers didn't want to give him that money. And what I would say to you is this. We got to stop. And I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about overall when we talk basketball. Everything ain't points. Yeah, you got the stars that could deliver you the goods. But those same stars will tell you, I need somebody to play defense. I need somebody to rebound. I need somebody to be that energizer bunny. I need somebody that's going to feed that crowd and get us going, like Paul George alluded to in his post-game comments after the loss last night in terms of what Patrick Beverley gives. Now, Patrick Beverley was some dude that was like, yo, I'm trying to average 20 a game, and he's playing offense like he plays offense. That's a different ballgame. That ain't why he's in the NBA. Patrick Beverley is in the NBA because he is a professional pest. He agitates you. He gets you to do things you don't want to do. He gets you out of character. And by the way, whoever he's guarding at money time, I don't want them with the ball. Because he's the kind of guy that has the ability to disrupt you in a key moment. You might be getting at him a lot in the game. But that particular moment when it really, really counts. It's a regular season game and LeBron is pulling up from the right wing for a three and Patrick Beverley strips him. He didn't stop LeBron James that game by any stretch of the imagination. But that one play sealed it when he was with the Clippers. Last night, Reggie Jackson's got the ball. I don't understand why Reggie Jackson had the ball instead of Paul George. Paul George should have had the damn ball for a multitude of reasons. Not just because he had 30. Oh my goodness. I don't know. What is it?
Amber alert.
I apologize. So I don't know why. I don't know why Paul George didn't have the ball, because without Kawhi Leonard, you are the star of the team. You are the closer. You should have been the one with the ball in your hand. That's Amber Alert, people. For those of y'all hearing the news, something's happened out there in the world. So we got that. All I'm telling y'all is that's what the situation is. So, again, Patrick Beverley saying send the ass home. I don't mind that too much because we understand where that's coming from. The jumping on the scorer's table, the taking off of the shirt, and Anthony Edwards is big time. I love that brother. And D'Angelo Russell showed up in ball. Give him credit. He had 29, blah, blah, blah. But jumping up on the table, and when I see teams do that at this stage, it shows me two things. Number one, you've never really won before.
Well, they haven't.
And number two, that's right. And number two, you ain't going to win. Because if you got your eyes on a bigger prize, you ain't celebrating like that.
I just want to flip the script for 1 second. Was it a tad bit excessive? Probably.
Yeah. Yes.
But I like to reward this type of behavior. First off, the play-in tournament for me is more like March Madness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one and done. And for a team that has been to the playoffs for 2 times in 18 years, you just gave us great color on the background of Patrick Beverley. He is their leader. And I like that it trickles down into it means something. I am so tired so many times of players being so cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, expect to be here. Like, act like you've been in a limo before. Yeah. They haven't been in a damn limo for a long-ass time.
Let me say this to you, though, real quick. Did I hand it to y'all? Carl Anthony Towns is a big-time player. You didn't show up last night, bro. You better than that. 11 points. Forget the 11 points.
Forget it.
I watched him. I mean, listen, I'm like Carl Anthony Towns. You fouling out? 11 points, forget all of that. That could happen to anybody. Hell, you doing fouling out with 7 minutes left in the game, trying to get into the playoffs and leaving it to Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell to save the day. You ain't a rookie, Carl Anthony Towns. You can ball. You a big-time player. You got to show up in games like last night, and you damn sure better not do that against Memphis, or you'll get swept.
He's going to have his hands full of Steven Adams in the way they defend.
I'll tell you what, he's lucky they bailed him out, too.
Chris Finch,
who just got an extension, left him on the court in the second quarter with three fouls. The last guy I can remember on this level of getting his fourth foul in the first half of a playoff game was when Russell Westbrook made it personal with Ricky Rubio the year that they played Utah in the playoffs. Mm. And he was picking him up full court and fouling him in the backcourt, even with three, and he left him on the floor, and he got four to took himself out of the game. And they lost that game, ended up losing that series. So they got bailed out last night because of how well Russell played down the stretch. Anthony Edwards played. And, of course, we said Patrick Beverley, he took on Paul George the last six, 7 minutes. He picked Reggie Jackson's pocket twice. He was, to me, the difference in the game. As long as somebody's making shots, which they had a couple guys.
I love Reggie Jackson, but Paul George has to have the ball in his hands in that moment.
Yeah. Why are we talking about Kawhi Leonard? When is he going to come back?
They said the reports are saying there's some reports that are speculating that for the first round, for a seven-game series, he could potentially be back. They haven't ruled it out. But they're high. They haven't ruled it out. I'm like, whatever.
Real
it's
quick.
Kawhi Leonard.
But before we get to MVP, why did the TNT guys, why were they picking Minnesota over Memphis?
It was amazing. It was almost like they got wrapped up in the moment of what they just saw because of how well D'Angelo Russell played. And I watched that entire discussion amongst those guys. And it didn't start out that way. In fact, Charles's first comment, he said, push comes to shove, I'm picking Memphis. And by the time he finished talking, 2 minutes later, he had picked Minnesota. And, of course, Kenny pointed that out to him, and Ernie pointed it out to
fireworks.
Him. But it was too late. And then Shaq jumped in, and it was like they were so enamored by what they saw in the young talent. It's like they forgot how good Memphis has been all year.
But in fairness to them, what they did bring up was, because that part was taped, they brought up Memphis. Minnesota's playing with house money.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, for the first time, had expectations placed on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I believe in Memphis. When they say, we walking up the chimney, we want all that smoke, I've been in front of these brothers. I believe them.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe
them. There. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. I get it. The MVP votes are in, and the Sixers finish fourth in the East, and Kevin Durant is giving the scoring leader Joel Embiid the nod. His reasoning why, that might surprise you. Take a listen.
If I had to choose, I would go Joel Embiid, led the league in scoring, double-double. This team won 50 games this year. I mean, you know, numbers were incredible. It's a great year. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's a lot of players that have been controlled by their narrative. Some of it has been because of the players. Some of it just has been because of, you know, perception of other people about that player. You know, in Joel's case, you know, more people just like Giannis and Jokic. You know, simple as that. They just prefer them more than Embiid's personality or his story, I guess.
All right, Slim Reaper going with Embiid. Jay, are you buying KD's explanation?
I think it comes down to personal biases and what people like in people. I mean, when you start getting to this upper echelon, the numbers are right there for everybody.
Yeah, when you're
right?
splitting hairs.
About me saying, oh, Jokic, you know, leads the NBA in PER and NBA history and top 10, all these numbers. But I think there's a lot of stuff that came from Joel Embiid's past that is affecting the way people look at him now, even though this year he's been completely under the radar. Even with the way he's handled the Ben Simmons chaos, he's just put his head down and he's worked his tail off. So I agree wholeheartedly with Kevin Durant. I still have Jokic as my MVP. I think leading a team without two of his star players, the 48 wins, top 10 in assists, points, rebounds, shooting 58% from the field, the highest PR in NBA history. I like Jokic for him to surpass what he did last year. But, I mean, it's right there at the end of the day. But I do think personal biases come into it.
There's no question. The people that vote for this, they absolutely put that into it, and they shouldn't, but they're human beings. Yeah. So, you know, as someone that votes, you're a fan of certain guys for whatever reason. Their games, the margin between these guys is so slim, it comes down to other factors. And so some people are going to say, I really kind of like Jokic or Giannis. Yes, mm-hmm. It plays into it. But here's where I'll say I disagree with Kevin Durant. I don't necessarily think there's some sort of a bias against Joel Embiid. I think at one time people felt that way because Joel Embiid talked about himself a lot mm-hmm. prior to this year. He would talk about himself as defensive player of the year, as MVP, at one point he said he was the best player in the league and hadn't really done anything in the postseason to that point. And so people, they're taken aback by that, right? Humility is the most endearing quality you can have as an athlete. People gravitate toward it. So what did he do this year? Number one, he got himself in shape. He lost weight. He improved his stamina. He could stay on the court for 36 minutes and finish the game as a power player, not drift out to the perimeter because he's bent over and he's sucking wind. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, maturity. Mm-hmm. Secondly, look at what happened with this team and this organization. He didn't have a guy go down to injury. He had a guy quit on his team. and go home. And his maturity and leadership and the way he handled it showed me he's in a completely different place mentally this year than he has been. And then, obviously, finally, you got to go back it up with your numbers and does your team win? All of those things happen. I felt like he took control of the award like in February and didn't do anything to lose it and somehow got run down on the home stretch. I don't quite understand how that happens. Jokic is the same player from start to finish. Yeah. So is he. It was pretty much a general consensus. Joel Embiid was the MVP.
Was based on
and all
Philly.
Of a sudden, he got run down from behind. I don't understand.
Do you think it was because Philly started losing some games with that when Harden came?
Yeah, but it wasn't crazy. You know, they didn't lose 8 out of 10. They didn't go in a 6-game losing streak. His numbers didn't go through a slump. Mm-hmm. So, to me, one of three things has to happen. Your numbers drop off because you went into a long slump, like Curry did at some point. It took him out of it. Mm-hmm. Your team has to lose at a high rate. They didn't. Or you get hurt. He didn't do any of those things. So, I don't know how you get tracked down in the home stretch.
Before you jump in real quick, so you have Embiid.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a vote.
I know.
I could have turned in the vote. I could have turned in the vote last week, week before, whatever. I didn't turn in my vote until Monday night,
okay,
2 hours before the deadline, because I've been vacillating back and forth. I had to take Giannis and his greatness into consideration. I get tired of people ignoring the greatness of Devin Booker, who is great, and we got to give him his love. Jokic, I went on Denver Morning Radio with my brother Mark Schlereth that used to be here. I love that brother. He does radio, morning radio, former Denver Bronco doing radio in Denver. And I had to explain to them, like, what problems Jokic causes me, because without Porter Jr., without Jamal Murray, who I love because he shows up in big games, Jokic, with what he does, this brother is a big tub of lard, can't jump on a curb to save his life, and nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop him. There's nothing you can do with him. It's unbelievable to me. Just tapping balls to himself for rebounds. It's like, it's unbelievable. You just watch him like they can't stop him. And in the end, I had to give my vote to Joel Embiid. I go to the last. I understood that there was a slight hiccup once James Harden arrived. So I paid attention to that, right? And in those first few games, James Harden arrived. He still had 34, 37, 27, two 22-point games, right? Last 15 games or so, 43, 27, 35, 34, 35, 32. Had a 21-point game, right? 30, 27, 37, 29, 37, 29, 44, 45, 30, 41. This is what Joel Embiid is doing, right? Sixers, limited bench. Top 10 defense. We know Jokic don't play defense like Joel Embiid. We know that. I had to take that into consideration. And then you know what I had to do? I had to take into a – you know who convinced me? Are you ready for this? Zoolander.
What?
That's who convinced me. You want me to tell you who Zoolander is?
Zoolander.
Right? The male model.
Oh, is that Blue Steel or is that
Magnum? Remember Zoolander with Ben Stiller?
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious, right? Why did I say Zoolander? Male model. Why is a male model relevant to this conversation? Ben Simmons. You see the green outfit last night?
It was lame.
You see the ice? You understand? Yeah. Looking like a male model. Good-looking dude, obviously. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that's who the hell Joel Embiid had to deal with. You quit on the team. You understand? They have mental issues. All right. You're there, but you're not there. You don't want to play. All right. Joel Embiid had to deal with that all year long. Not a dude that was injured, a dude that quit. By the way, a dude that purportedly quit because of you, meaning Joel Embiid. Remember what the reports were saying? He really didn't get along with Joel Embiid. You know what I'm saying? Felt like he should have been a man. Felt like he was second fiddle. Didn't appreciate the status that Joel Embiid had compared to him. Block this one. This is all they were saying. All right? So the male model, what happened? I don't want to play. You understand? Mental health issues and all that stuff. I say that, not diminishing mental health, because we understand how important that is. But damn it, we didn't believe you when it came to the mental health issues. You weren't mentally disabled or lacking mental health to avoid you buying the house. You weren't mentally disabled enough to prevent you from filing a grievance for $20 million to get your mother. You seem very lucid and cogent and on point when it comes to trying to get your damn money. And then on top of it all, you get to Brooklyn. And the second
that you get to Brooklyn. You know, when you was in Philly, you were looking like you was on Prozac, that there was stuff that's going on with you. All right? Listen,
we could still struggle, and you can still function in life. You could still buy a house. You can still do things, even if you're dealing with mental illness and fairness.
That's fair, and I appreciate you clarifying that. I'm talking about the fact that people don't believe him. Mm-hmm. I'm not diminishing anything that anybody with mental health issues goes through. I know that's real. He knows this. Find somebody in Philly who believe Ben Simmons. They don't believe him. So the point is, we looked at all of that. And you look at it. And why do I bring that up? Because Molly, Tim Legler, Jay Williams right here, I got eyewitnesses. I got receipts. The second he got to Brooklyn, did you see that man? What up, y'all? Yeah. You know, I mean, happy, smiling. All right. And then, you know what? He's sitting in, high-fiving everybody, jumping on the bench. It's cool. Suddenly, there's a back injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, but you know what? You know, it ain't hard getting getting your drip game going. Ain't hard having the outfits on. Ain't hard looking better than most male models. And that's what. That's what it comes down to. So I'm just saying, Joel Embiid had to deal with all that, and he averaged 30-11. On 49% shooting from the field.
Yeah.
And he is clearly elite. There is nothing but greatness shining from Joel Embiid. I hope Ben Simmons plays, because contrary to what people think, I believe, I would guarantee y'all, if Ben Simmons could give me a solid 25 minutes similar to what he would do in Philly,
mm-hmm.
shooting woes and all, I would guarantee you Brooklyn going to the finals. That's how great I think Ben Simmons is outside of shooting the basketball. But I had to give it to Joel Embiid. He's the league MVP.
He did have to deal with a lot. The scoring leader. And Jokic has the highest PR in a season in NBA history. We will leave it there. You two sticking around here with us. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets are in Hotlanta to take on Trae Young and the Hawks tonight, 7 Eastern. That one right here on ESPN. Those two stars are both atop ESPN's latest ranking. So here's the deal. ESPN ranked their top 25 players under 25, and here's the top five. Luka, who is already the Mavericks' all-time leader in triple-doubles at the top, Jason Tatum, and first-time All-Star Ja Morant are close behind Trae and LaMelo, rounding out the top five. Stephen A., which player under 25 is most likely to become the future face of the association?
I think everybody knows it's Luka Doncic. I mean, there's no way around that. Because he's an international star. First of all, the NBA has done an exceptional job of globalizing its brand, mm-hmm. and we know that.
Yeah.
But outside of globalizing its brand, Doncic is a globalizing figure.
Mm-hmm.
He's not from America. You see what I'm saying? And so when you look at the fact that, and I'm going to say what it is, we got a league filled with brothers, okay? This is a white dude who's a global figure who can ball better than most brothers. Period. Remember how they used to talk about Bird? You know what I'm saying? Everybody doing white, black. Oh, no. They didn't see. I mean, it was black people didn't see color when it came to Larry Bird because they said Larry Bird better than us, and he talks smack better than us, too. You know what I'm saying? We all know why Dr. J ain't got in the only fight in his career. Larry Bird went like this. I'm going to shoot right here. You know, and then did it. I'm going to come here. I'm going to get the ball here. I'm going to come right here and put this in your face. And did it. The doctor, one of the nicest human beings on the planet Earth. Bow. That's funny. Larry Bird got Dr. J to swing on him. I mean, think about that for a second there. That's how bad. Everybody know Larry Bird, that dude. Doncic is that dude. That's the difference. I'm not talking just game. I'm talking personality. I'm talking bravado. I'm talking, you know, the Tatums of the world and people like that. The game is there. But the personality, the attitude, the moxie, all that stuff. And I see it elevating in Jason Tatum now, and I'm loving it because he can back it up, and I'm loving that. But Doncic is a special, special player with a very special personality. And I think the fact, from a personality perspective, y'all, I think the fact that he gets teed up so much actually helps him. He got attitude. He wouldn't go at anybody. And you see him laughing at players. He's schooling. You see him shaking his head. You can't hold me. You can't check me. I don't know what language he's telling them in, but he's saying it. That's the guy that stands out in my mind.
I think that he is one of the most special players the game has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go ahead and say LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
And here's why. LaMelo Ball already has 8.5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
He is already a walking reality show.
Okay.
Gen Zers in the United States know every move that this dude makes, and he's in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So let me remind you, he's in Charlotte, mm-hmm. right? Averaging 20 points a game this year, 7.5 assists. I watched him the other night play against the Chicago Bulls. Legs, I'm trying to tell you, it was an absolute show in Chicago. Didn't miss a bucket. I felt like the first 9 minutes of the first quarter was on fire, but everything he does is showcased in the cars he rocks, the clothes he dresses in. Now, I'm not saying he's a better player than Luka Doncic right now, but he's 20 years old. So the footprint that he has within the national scene of basketball mm-hmm. is different. And mark this down. I'm trying to tell you, L.A. was not for Lonzo Ball. L.A. is for LaMelo Ball. If LaMelo Ball finds a way to get himself in Los Angeles on the back end of when LeBron James is done in L.A., I'm telling you, he will become the face of the NBA for the league because of the market he will be in, because of being homegrown in the United States. I am not saying that he's a better player than Luka Doncic or Jason Tatum right now. But his ceiling, praise the Lord, his ceiling is something that's off the charts, which was already established around him from a visibility and a foundation level in the United States as around marketing. His dad set it up with Lonzo, and his dad, this is the one. His dad has always said he was going to be the one. The story within itself will become a movie. Trust and believe it. That's going to happen.
Did you just say praise the Lord?
I'm just trying to tell you.
I'm just saying.
I got a little bit of Stephen A. in me right now.
You said praise the Lord.
I got a little bit of Stephen A. in
Absolutely
me right now.
Absolutely, you actually don't, because you said praise the
Lord.
But I got you.
The
got
whole
you.
Thing is set up for him from a marketing story.
No, I just called him praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just said it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
These are two great answers. Two great answers, all right?
It just came out naturally around you. Look where you get me.
You're fine.
He does that now. He does do that to people. He does do that to people.
Ignore him.
He does do that to people. We know that.
People respond, though. That's the problem. I just ignore you.
Do you?
Yeah.
You can't ignore me. You can't ignore me.
Hey, listen. So here's my take. Luka Doncic has the game to validate your statement without question. In fact, I think halfway through his rookie year, I said to somebody, we may be looking at Larry Bird with a better handle and a quicker first step.
Okay.
That's scary.
Crazy to say.
That's scary.
But not as good as a shooter. Not as good of a shooter, though.
No, he's not, because he's too streaky.
Right.
But, man, oh, man, the way he controls the game physically, right? LaMelo Ball has the game and the social media presence, right? And that's what you're talking about, too, that combination. I'm going to go with another guy that I think has both of those things. And then he has this other element, and it's that guy right there, number 12 from Memphis, John Morant. So he's got the game to back it up. He's got the presence and the likability, and you see a lot of young players wearing that jersey, man. When Memphis came into town to play Philly, went to that game, John Morant put on a show. Now, B didn't play that night. You should have seen how many John Morant jerseys were in Wells Fargo that night. Okay, so he's got that too, but then he's got this other component, which I think Luka Doncic will never have. And I'm not sure about LaMelo Ball, but not as much. And that's this: embracing the microphone and the voice of the league.
That's true.
Ja Morant is going to take the mic, and he's going to say things. He's not going to be afraid to say things. He's going to understand what that role entails. Luka Doncic, as great as he is, and he likes to smirk at guys while the game's going on and always act like, man, this is so easy for me. And so I think there's a natural thing when you watch him. There's an arrogance there. And I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to be super vocal on league stuff and making himself bigger than the league and going outside that lane to talk about stuff. That's what being face of the league means.
I'll say this.
And I think Ja Morant will do that.
I say this. Tim is swaying me to some degree about Ja Morant, but not because of just Ja Morant. I'm going to go on record saying this. Sentimentally speaking, who doesn't want Chris Paul to win? We look at Phoenix. We look at CP3, approaching age 37 in May and is the best point guard in basketball. I'm talking about quintessential point guard. There is no point guard better than Chris Paul in the world in terms of running a team and being a floor general. That's who Chris Paul is. But when you talk about from an entertainment perspective, not just on the court but off the court, who is there we'd all prefer more than Memphis? You got a cadre of brothers that will walk up to the microphone and say anything and then step on the court and back it up. They come, like I love the quote, and I held on to it all year. We walking up the chimney, we want all the smoke. Mm-hmm. I do that for a reason. That's how they play. Yep. They come for you, and they tell you in advance, we coming for you. What you going to do about it? And that's what I love about Memphis, and that is going to be, because you got a bunch of dudes that are like that on your team. It's just that Ja is the ringleader.
We're up against it. Great discussion. You are dismissed. This was your fifth hour of television this
thank
morning.
You. So thank praise you. The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's good all the time.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.